Welcome to Heart, Hustle, and Humor, a show for dedicated, hardworking, fun entrepreneurs and business owners who want to build a business bigger than their own satisfaction. We all know heart got you started, hustle made it happen, and humor got you through it. This is the only place you can get inspired and motivated by my guests who are using the trifecta of heart, hustle, and humor in their business. It's time to dream higher. Today's episode is brought to you by Kaleidoscope Media Services. Kaleidoscope Media Services helps professionals scale their business by adding digital products for success. I'm your host, Dr. T. Welcome to another episode of Heart, Hustle, and Humor. I'm your host, Dr. T. In studio, I have Shoshana French. Thank you. Oh, I'm so happy you're here today, Shoshana.
Of course, where else would I be other than something all about heart and about humor? Duh.
Yeah. Duh, right? Exactly.
Parts of life, for God's sake.
Heart, hustle, and humor, man. That's all there is to it. But I have to share some of this. And this, I want my listeners to know, this is such a snippet of the amazing things that you have done, but I want to share with them. Shoshana French's goal is to cultivate wildly successful leaders through the practical power of intuition. As the founder of Simple Spirit, a keynote speaker and coach to NFL leaders, Broadway and television stars, million and billion dollar business founders and CEOs, and business professionals, Shoshana generates unpredictable and profound results for leaders who are looking to develop a deeper connection to their purpose. And Shoshana, right away, you know, you and I had this conversation in prep, and these two words stood out to me, this unpredictable and profound. Why are those words so important to you, and how are you helping your clients with those?
Well, what I want to say is that outside of the conversation for intuitive decision-making lives data-driven decision-making. And if you think about what data is pretty predictable, right? You put something on a chart or a graph, and then you predict how it goes based on what you already know. But intuition is not that. Intuition is not based on what you already know. Intuition is based in the world of possibility and innovation. So what comes to mind, those two words in particular, is I work with a client who owns a nonprofit, and she's been having this thought for a while, which is like, I want my own show, right? Mm-hmm, and everybody's like, your name's not big enough yet. You can't have your own show. No one's going to give you your own show. Like, you're really connected to your nonprofit. Everybody knows you as that. And she just wouldn't let it go because her inner wisdom, right? Her intuition inside of the training we've done, her inner wisdom is like, nope, I don't believe that. Not for one second. She had a thought one day, which is to call a friend of hers who knows about starting radio shows. So she just gave her a call, right? Pure intuition, gave her a call. And the woman answers the phone and she goes, well, hello, Shelly. And Shelly's like, I can't believe you answered. I know how busy you are. She goes, I don't know. I just had this feeling I should answer. Like, you don't call me very often. So I was like, let's talk to Shelly. And so Shelly shares with her, I really want my own show. And she goes, man, your timing is really great. A slot just opened up on Sirius for Sundays in midday. Do you want it?
Whoa.
So about 3 weeks ago, she launched her own show. Now, to me, that is like both unpredictable, right? If you had looked at a graph, if you had looked at data, that literally is not predictable. It's actually unpredictable, and it's unprecedented because, you know, you have to... You know, what they say in the entertainment industry is that you really have to pay your dues.
Yes.
And if you looked at what she's done prior to now, you would say she hadn't paid those dues. She's paid other dues.
Sure.
But she hasn't paid those dues, right?
Right.
And so that's just like the immediate example when you ask me that question. That's the very first example I think of one of my clients.
Yeah. And I think that the data and the numbers and paying your dues actually is all about telling you no. Where I feel like what you're about in teaching people, it's all about the yes. It's just what's going to happen, when is it going to happen, and what do I need to do, and who do I need to reach out to? Mm-hmm. And we stick to the data because, well, let me ask you, don't you feel people stick to the data because it feels more comfortable, but when we start listening to ourselves and our intuition, we get a little uncomfortable.
Oh, heck yeah. I would love to live in a very, sometimes I don't obviously, but sometimes I miss that old life where everything fit nicely in a little box and everything was known. Like everything could be known. These are the rules for operation. These are the, you know, standard operating practices. This is who I should be. This is what allowed. I'm going to follow that. Like I'm a champion people pleaser, right? Retired now, but I was like an Olympic level people pleaser for a long time. Mm-hmm. I knew exactly what to do to get the desired result of people around me. So when I say data, I don't just mean like numbers on a chart. I use that example, but I also mean data points, right? Yes. Like right. When you respond, the stimuli outside of us is also data. Mm-hmm. And it would be really predictable to keep living that life, but it also created a certain amount of predictability that was pretty darn tootin' boring, kind of like the sign that's behind you, right?
But yes,
if you think adventure is
dangerous,
try routine, it's lethal. To me, data-driven decision-making as a lifestyle is pretty darn tootin' predictable and boring, mm-hmm. and it doesn't lead to innovation. Whatever that means for you, right? For this woman I'm talking about, innovation for her is leaping into that like up level of having a new platform. Yeah. For other clients, it's leaving an unhappy marriage. They're like, I'm ready for a marriage where I feel really seen. For some people, it's time to close my business and mm-hmm. go get a job because I want like a life that is not about running a business anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's whatever your level of unpredictable and unprecedented would be. So yeah, heck yeah. It's completely unknown. It's like the more questions you ask, the more questions there are to ask. Yes.
Well, before I jump into the next piece here, I just want to say thank you for giving the listeners the permission to close a business. Cause I do think often we get in that I have to do it. I have to make it work. It's got to work. Or they have a product or they're selling a service. And it's like, but that's what I started with. And I just have to do it. Sometimes it's just say no, just move on.
Well, I had this woman one time who, and it's not related to her business. She was in a marriage because she was of the generation. That's what you did. You got married, you have kids. She's about 20 plus years older than me. I'm 45. She's 65. And she'd been unhappy for a long time, but her data was right. Like, this is what is expected of you. I got married. Now I'm stuck. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of her awakening, that's to kind of use a non-traditional word, but maybe somebody in psychology would call it like, you know, like new self-awareness or whatever word you use, right? Her awakening came from, if I'm living life aligned with my heart, that's how she would have just said it, mm-hmm. like aligned with my heart and my values, I actually want to be happy and I'm not happy. So what do I need to do to be happy? And that was the question she asked. And the answer was very clear. The other client I was talking about, hers was, I've owned this business for 15 years. I have employees, people count on me, but again, really unhappy. And when she thought of her future, doing more of the same just made her feel so tired. And so when she checked in with her inner knowing, it was like, oh, it's time to close the business. Like it's time to close that chapter, give myself permission to have being happy actually be what matters to me.
Be what matters to me. Absolutely. The other thing is, as you said, the primary focus in life is to be fully alive and to love people. And that's basically about following your heart. I mean, you know, this goes hand in hand with your intuition and your heart. But how do we follow our heart? How do we understand that? How do we hear what's going on?
Oh, such like that question. We could talk for 4 hours about that. Yeah. but what I will say is that one of the, there's different ways I could answer it. Here's what I'll say. I met someone recently who teaches meditation to Westerners, right? But she herself is not a Westerner. Okay. And what she said is that our culture in the West is really focused on achievement, right? That's just who we are. Mm-hmm. And I actually like that, right? I was born here. I was born in the United States. Like I love kind of like, I like the hustle. It's fun to achieve. I really enjoy it. But that ability to pause and listen, mm-hmm. it requires like turning down the noise of the outside world, but it also requires turning down our own inner noise. And if we don't do that, then you can't hear, because mm-hmm. that inner voice, it's actually, people all the time are like, it's that quiet inner voice. I'm like, well, it's actually not quiet. But if you've ever been in a really crowded place and you're trying to have a conversation with someone standing right in front of you, you can't freaking hear them. So you're like, can you talk louder? Because I can't hear you, right? But like, if you want to be able to hear your intuition, you have to practice what it is to turn down the volume of the outside noise. And the outside noise could be things like, I have, you know, 15 employees and I can't close my business because what are they going to say? That's outside noise, right? All of their opinions.
Right.
Outside noise could be like my client, Shelley, where people are like, you haven't paid your dues yet. You don't get your own show. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there's our own inner noise, and our inner noise can be like, you're not good enough. You don't know what you're doing. You know, when people talk about imposter syndrome, that's some of our inner noise. So there are lots of different ways. You know, 27 years I've been in the study and practice of this particular tool, intuition. And so there are a lot of ways to do that, to turn down the outer noise and the inner noise. It's all the things people talk about, your inner work. But that's, to me, that is the very first step. I call it the pause, the mm-hmm. ask, the listen. So that's the practice. You have to learn to pause, whatever that looks like for you. So sometimes that means unplugging from technology. Sometimes that means having a day where you don't, your time is not owed to anyone, but it's your day, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it means like having the space to go do your hobbies, because in the space of cooking your favorite thing or painting something or going for a hike, that engagement that is quiets your brain, calms your emotions, right? And relaxes your body. That's mm-hmm. the pause you need. Ask is just, you know, engaging with your inner wisdom, like asking questions. And it's not like should questions, like, should I stay in this job? Should I try to get my own show? But it's questions like, what would actually make me happy? It's those deep questions. Mm-hmm. What has me feel like, what makes me come alive? What feeds my spirit? Like, what actually is the things that really matter to me in life? And then the last part, which it seems like the first two would be hard enough, but the last part is listen. And that part I have found in thousands and thousands of people, including myself, that's the hardest part. Because we are attuned to know, right? We feel way more comfortable in the knowing, in like the immediate, going back to what we've already learned, reading a book, asking someone else, staying in the space of the unknown and waiting for that voice, whatever that voice looks like. It all works different for each of us. Mm-hmm. That's the listen. So pausing, asking, listening.
Yeah, the listening. You second guess we second guess ourselves, and it's like, no, I it's telling me something, but I don't want to hear it right now. I love it. Pause, ask, and listen. And you said something about, you know, time for ourselves. And I know that you practice what you talk about, because you have date night with your hubby and you do fun things with your family. I mean, I am a believer in family. I mean, I have a fantastic family. I go and I specifically do things with my nieces and nephews, because that is where I'm in a very happy spot. And it's the one place I'm not thinking about my business. Mm. I mean, and so I'm always excited when I hear someone else living in that arena. But you mentioned you were in the sports industry as you know, in this arena, but how did you play in that? I mean, I want to, you know, you can give us a snippet of what you did, but how does being in the sports world make you more into it, or how did that affect you, and how has that affected you in business?
Well, what I remember that question in particular, we were talking about hustle, like how do I relate to the word hustle? Yeah. So I'm not a big, I was just talking about this with a client today, like the hustle culture, meaning burning the candle at both ends, has never really spoken to me. But when I hear hustle, I think of being an athlete. So when I was I've always been an athlete. Like I was a competitive swimmer. I did discus and shot put when I was in high school. You know, I played a little bit of college, like did some running in college and different things, but I was not competitive in college, but I played a bunch of different sports and yeah. I've always been an athlete. I run now. Like, to me, hustle is about, in that context, in the context of exercise and being an athlete, is about right. trusting the, I would call it like trusting the partnership between your body and your mind. Because if people have ever been an athlete, they get that it's your mind is sometimes the bigger game, not the body.
Mm-hmm.
So like what comes to mind, not for me personally, but what comes to mind is I watched this movie and it was about a marathon runner. Like Nike did this, you know, sports thing where they were trying to get a marathon runner to do a marathon in under 2 hours. And it was about the mental game for what it would take to get under 2 hours, not just the physicality of it, but the mental game, right? We think of Michael right. Phelps. He got taught visualization when he was 13 because he was so anxious. He had anxiety, right? He had like an anxiety mm-hmm. disorder.
Yeah.
You think of like all of these athletes, so much of it is a mind game. And so to me, hustle is about suspending your disbelief that it's not possible, and focusing on that if you say it's possible, it is, and pushing yourself through the disbelief.
Yeah.
That to me is what hustle is.
Yeah. And I love the practice of body and mind. I was just in Ohio at the Solheim Women's LPGA Cup, where it's US against Europe. Yeah. Oh yeah. Talk about an incredible opportunity. But I went with a woman, her name is Debbie O'Connell, and she has this whole program that's called Golf Positive. And she teaches a lot of this mind to the golf game. And I'm telling you, I was sitting there practicing my swing with her, and she would move the little tiny white ball, and she would move it, and I would swing perfect. As soon as she'd set it down, I did something weird. And I'm like, what is wrong? All this time. and it really is that mind overtakes the body. And if we can just connect them, what a difference it's going to make. And I, the other word you use when we talk about hustle, this is one of my favorite words, is grit.
Yep.
Just having the tenacity and that grit. And I'm sure you experienced that in your business, developing your business, but I'm also imagining that you help people kind of figure out what that means for them and the balance of tenacity, grit, hustle. I mean, how have you helped people balance that?
Well, and I would say what I balance is spaciousness or freedom, which is one of my top values in my business and in my life, mm-hmm. with grit.
Mm.
So to me, it's like, and people talk about it all the time, like, and I think this is why I've gotten where I've gotten in business, because I'm talking about something that sounds really conceptual, right?
Yes.
Intuition, but it's not conceptual to me. It's a hard skill that everybody's born with, just like we're born with the ability, with exceptions, right? But born with the capacity to speak and communicate. Mm-hmm. And right. then how good we get at it depends on our training, right? Well, right. we're all born with the capacity to, and all the pieces and parts to be intuitive. So for me with clients, it's where are the places where you're giving up on yourself? Because that happens for us. And why do you think you're giving up on yourself? Mm. Like, is it a lack of trust, or mm-hmm. is it actually an intuitive message that the direction you're going is not the right direction?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're giving up on ourselves, and then sometimes our intuition is like, hey, that's the wrong way. But if we don't practice pausing, asking and listening, we don't actually learn what our intuition has to communicate or tell us.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me is the balance. Like, grit in general, like, and I know a lot of athletes, I tend to work with a lot of variety of people, but I work with really driven and ambitious people who have grit in, you know, abundance.
Oh,
so grit is not their problem.
Yes.
what it tends to be is that they don't have as much freedom and spaciousness and the willingness to pause. Right. So I'm right. often working on them going like, it's okay to take time off. It's okay not to work. It's okay to, like, the achievement of time off is an achievement worth celebration. It doesn't yeah. always have to be like a, you know, so I tend to work with people who already have a lot of grit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh man. And then, obviously you like humor because we're laughing here and having a good time. And you put it as humor has been invaluable to you, but I love how you've made the connection of being curious and open. I mean, I've never heard anybody put it in that way. It's like all areas of your life, you stay willing, curious, and open. And when I talked about humor with you, why? I mean, what are you saying there?
When we're rigid, things are not funny.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think of my dad, who I love dearly, but he's pretty rigid. Like, his thinking is pretty rigid. Mm-hmm. And like, he's a biker. And when I was a kid, we got a flat tire and he was so pissed. He was so pissed. He was just like, he was like raging on the side of the highway and he was like, I'm gonna fix a flat. He was like, right.
Yeah.
And, breakdowns are opportunity for laughter. Like, that's what comedy has always taught me. Like, the biggest breakdowns sometimes make literally the funniest comedy I've ever heard. Like, one of the funniest comedians I've heard in recent times was from an event I went to last night, and she's 50, recently divorced. And I won't use the exact terminology because I don't know if you have the classification on your podcast of not being for children, but she did say that young hot guys don't mind pity sleeping with divorcee women at 50. That's what she said. And like, the entire room of people were dying. We were dying.
Yeah.
And like, 22 years of bad sex. So I think, but I've been doing a lot of research like a scientist. And like, that was the hardest thing that's ever happened to her in her life, was the way that he divorced her, but mm-hmm. it made for the funniest thing.
Right.
And to me, flexible, curious, and open minds find life funny.
Yep.
And they're willing to find like the funny parts of life, even in the hard. And, life doesn't always go the way you expect. Right. And, if you can't like loosen up, then it makes it awfully hard, because life already has challenge. Like, to me, I had a teacher a long time ago used to say, suffering is optional. Challenges are not, but suffering's optional. Like, suffering is wishing something is a different way than it is.
Right.
And my dad is somebody who I've watched suffer a lot over challenges because he's rigid.
Yeah.
And I've had a fair amount of challenges in my life, but often I'm always like, all right, well, if I created my life, not like it's my fault the challenge happened, but if I'm the creator of my life and I get to choose how I respond to this challenge, I'm going to try to make it funny. Because otherwise I'm going to be pissed, and I do not like the experience of being pissed off. It's like not fun. It's not fun.
Right.
Yeah.
I've always, when things have gone, let's see, how do I put it? Less than sideways. Successful. Less than successful with an interaction with someone. After a few moments, maybe a few days, I always look back and say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for that negativity and that non-humor, because now I have something fodder for my next speech. And you put it so great. Humor is like a cosmic slap in the face. It's like the movies. It's like all of a sudden we're just boom. Yeah.
I wrote this blog a couple years ago, and I had half and half in the, I've had half and half in the refrigerator. I put it in my coffee in the morning. And if you've ever been to like half and half, you're like, is that good anymore? I don't know. Cause it's not like milk. It doesn't smell bad. Right.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'm just going to take a little swig.
Oh,
on chunky. Oh. And like, right after I did it, I was like, am I not a professional intuitive? Like, do I not teach people to like pause and check in first? I'm like, sure didn't do that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to tell everybody about drinking chunky half and half, like,
yes,
as a reminder that there are times when we do not remember to pause, because that was disgusting.
Oh, that's awful.
I don't recommend it, by the way, in case you're listening to the show and you're like, I wonder how chunky half and half is. It's not good. I don't recommend that.
It's just not. It's just not. It's not. Oh yeah. That's why I love to laugh. And I love to look back on my life. And I have that folder where it's just like, crap that happened, but it'll be funny later, and stick it in there, and we'll move on. But I want to ask you, you are working on some new things. You're working on expanding your intuitive entrepreneur program. I'd love for you to share with the listeners about what that is, and talk about you know, the things that you offer?
So it is new for me to offer very specifically for entrepreneurs. So I've worked with entrepreneurs for years, but it was sort of like my clients were saying, you really need to offer this for people who are just business owners.
Yes.
Like talk to all the people, but really who needs this are the people who, because you know, entrepreneurs are the gritty ones. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who are hustling and they are the ones who are bringing greater joy to life, right? They provide jobs and they're like coming up with new ideas. So I created in July a program called the Intuitive Entrepreneur. It's super cool. It's like one of my favorite things to do is to get on the mastermind call once a month with this group of really diverse entrepreneurs, ranging from, you know, like branding photograph person and to somebody who does research in asthma in Germany, to somebody who owns a commercial boiler company in Toronto, to somebody who is commercial building, like all different kinds of things. These are all different kinds of entrepreneurs. So it's this program where we get together once a month in a mastermind where we talk about what is it to become an intuitive entrepreneur. So most of us had that initial moment where we got inspired to start a business, and it's what got us over the hump of, am I sure I actually want to do this? That was the inspiration. To me, I say that inspiration is our intuition. So all of us as entrepreneurs have actually been intuitively inspired to do something. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of reconnecting to that experience and understanding the mechanism of it. So that's what the Intuitive Entrepreneur Program is.
I love that. That is so needed. It really is, because you're right. We're like, we're going to do this. We want to change the world. We've got all these ideas, but then somehow the processes of being an entrepreneur get in our way and we forget as to why we started our business. Mm-hmm. Before I ask you what your last kind of thoughts for our listeners, how do people get a hold of you?
You can find me on social media. I'm on Instagram, Shoshana French. If you wanted to chat with me, like if someone's like, I want to find out more about what she does, go to my website, simplespirit.com. Okay. It's really clear. And we identify, do you want to talk to me about life? Do you want to talk to me about business? And you can click the right button.
And that's why we love technology, right? Yes. We also love technology because the work you do is something that is important all over the world. And I know you have, like you said, clients that span the world. And I think that is so incredible. And as we wrap up here, what are your final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
I would say that of those three, heart, hustle, humor, that they all go together. So if you find yourself without your humor, pause and check in. Are you connected to your heart? Are you doing things to feed your heart?
Yeah.
If you find yourself like fat and happy, but not moving things forward, like check in, like, did you lose the hustle? Right. So to me, it's like, I love those three words because they're like touch points for if you're not moving forward in life, add hustle, right? If you are like just so super grouchy, you don't know what to do, time to add some humor, people. And if you find that like things are, you know, you're fat and happy, but like you're, you know, like, really, those are touchstones. So I would just say, remember, whoever's listening to this, if you're not sure what makes you laugh, if you're not sure what matters to you, what makes you happy, and if you're doing it all just to accomplish, like it's time for a pause. Just hit pause on life. Even my busy, busy, busy moms, married, kids, business, like even no matter how busy you are, you can find 10 minutes to pause. And just inquire, like pause and ask some questions, like what actually brings you joy? Like what's worth it to you to hustle? Like really? So really? That would be my last thoughts.
Wow. Very powerful. Very powerful. And this has been in studio with me, Shoshana French. And remember that your mind and body come together and that's going to help you with your intuition. And then pause, ask, and listen. And that's how you can embrace your intuition and get in touch with it again. And it has been amazing having you here. And I know everybody uses that word all the time, but I love that word. And I love people like you who are just out changing the world. So thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you. It was a great conversation.
And for my listeners, I know you'll like it. So like this episode, please subscribe, share with your friends, and leave us a review. Continue to dream higher. Until next time. Are you a professional looking to take your business to the next level? If the answer is yes, then I want you to go to kaleidoscopemediaservices.com. Check it out. And if you feel you are ready, then set up a time to talk to me and my co-founder, Laura Neubauer. I'm your host, Dr. T. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review and share this podcast with your friends.